503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Talk about it anymore. He kept a picture of my mama right by his heart. He gave it one last look before the fighting would start. He said, all I ask is that you don't forget, 'cause the war's not over when the fighting ends. There's a part of me Airborne Ranger Infantry. I left my best friend lying in a pool of blood while I crawled away through the brush and mud. If I could choose to go back again, I'd die lying there next to him. Still see when I close my eyes, and I won't forget his sacrifice. And there's a part of me that will always be just a boy in a hole with an M16, airborne ranger infantry. Oh, oh. So the world will remember my name. I did it for my family and my country, and my brothers who died right next to me. And all we ask is that you don't forget, 'cause the war's not over when the fighting ends. There's a part of us in a hole with our M16s, haunted souls and memories, airborne ranger infantry.
America, today starts the unofficial beginning of summer, Memorial Weekend, when we remember those who gave everything, who gave it all. As we go out together, America, with our family and our friends this weekend, as we celebrate and laugh and have a good time with our family and our loved ones that we hold so dear to us, please, please do not forget those men, those women who gave everything for us. So we can be in our backyards barbecuing this weekend, laughing, drinking something cold, having a good time, some homemade ice cream, a hot dog. What gets more American than that? Well, those men, those women who gave everything for us. We can never forget the sacrifice that they gave, not only to their families. Can you imagine going off and you've given your life for your family, your country? Not everybody can do it. Not everybody, not even close. But we owe them a debt of gratitude that we cannot pay. So this weekend, all I ask is that you just take a moment and remember those men, those women, and those families today that have loved ones that they've lost, that are overseas, that are out there protecting our country, not having near as good a time as we are this weekend. I know they're not going to have as good a time as I am when I have my grandson holding him in my arms right next to my heart. I want to thank you, men and women, for allowing me to do that this weekend. It's Memorial Weekend. I love this weekend. Our families get together, and we cannot forget about those men and those women who gave us everything. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week, Memorial Weekend, the unofficial beginning of summer, and I love it. And as the weather up here is lousy, but it's rain and we need it. And with me, as always, on my right, my good friend, Andrew, you and Lacey. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'm a Warrior Weekend. I know you will. How are you doing, my friend?
We're doing great. And obviously, we want to say thank you to all of our veterans that are back out here in California and across this country for all the service that they've given us. And without a doubt, Memorial Day weekend, folks, Tim, you pretty much summed it up. The song pretty much sums it up. You know, it's a three-day holiday for a lot of folks. But sometimes we have to realize why we've got these three-day holidays. And I think oftentimes, you know, we forget, not necessarily as individuals, but as a state and as a nation as a whole. And so it's just very, very, very important that we just always take a few minutes to reflect and remember why we've got this three-day holiday weekend, why we've got this freedom in this country. And it is 100% about the memories of the men and women who have done many things throughout our world history and have brought these opportunities for our families to get together. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. And, you know, Tim, oftentimes, you know, we do this little segment two times through our show. We do the Californians We May Not or May Know.
Sure.
Basically, every week when I go through, you know, what happened on a day in history, every day is full of some type of significant battle, some
sure.
significant war effort, you know, that has given us our freedom. So every day in history, folks, not just Memorial Day weekend, but every day in history has got some type of significance when it comes to our freedom here in the United States today.
You know, we're losing the greatest generation ever as they're getting older into their upper 80s and their 90s. And some of the people in our area, in our community here who we're just with them in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. A month or so ago, taking some of our World War II and our Korean vets over there, giving the Blue Star Moms here in our community and there throughout these United States and what they do. But it really hits me, Andrew, and I know that it does you too, and we don't talk about it enough. And we talk about it at this time of year. I think here on the 503 Report, we talk about it a little bit more. But nationally, you know, all they talk about, lead stories on news and everything, is families are traveling, they're going places, they're going to be together. But why not incorporate what I just said in the opening right there? You don't hear that. You know, they're traveling over 50 miles to be with their family and their friends. But you know what? There are members of families that are thousands of miles away in a hole somewhere and having a tough time right now, so we can do that. So, and you're absolutely correct. Every day, if we can just take pause and thank them for what they do, this nation would be a greater place.
Well, I mean, when we look at ourselves as a nation, maybe we can get into this a little bit on the bottom part of the show. You know, reflection is something that we just don't do anymore. We don't understand what the meaning of the 4th of July weekend
sure.
is sometimes, for goodness sakes. You know, what the true meaning behind Christmas is. And, you know, getting back to those basics, you know, that is part of the American pride, part of American history, part of, you know, growing up as a citizen in the United States. Being an American citizen is understanding the importance and the significance of these holiday opportunities we have. And, you know, I think that, you know, we're just getting further and further and further away from remembering, you know, the importance and the significance. You know, too much hot dogs, too many hamburgers, too many adult beverages out there. But really, folks, you know, and then you know, we forget sometimes to be careful out there when we are out there enjoying these three-day weekends. And that's the important part, is we just need to always reflect and be careful over these three-day weekends and really appreciate it, really appreciate what it means to be an American.
That's why so many people want to come to this great country that we call home, that we were born in, and that we are so proud to live in. And And I say that with all honesty because I am very proud to live here, to be an American. I am not ashamed that I know a lot of people go to other countries and they look down upon us, but I'm very proud because I know that each and every one of you would love to be here, especially in some of those poor and impoverished countries that we try to help all the time. You would want to be an American. It means a lot to be an American. All the things that we get to do, all the rights that we have. Andrew, we get to pick our government. A lot of people say, well, my vote doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Because we have 65% of the people say, my vote doesn't matter, and they don't go out. That is the greatest thing that we get to do. Our greatest right is to go out there and choose who we want to be in elected office. Would you rather have a king or some kind of sole sovereign out there? No. We get to choose a body of a president, senators in the states and in our communities. There's nothing greater that we get to do. And folks around the world who are under power of one individual and usually in not very a good way, Africa and Central America and South America, you see that all the time. They want to be here. They see what we have. We cannot forget how we got that. And this is just a Memorial Weekend is just one of the many things that we can do to remember our men and our women for the last 250 years, what they've done for us.
Well, I think our national cemeteries, not just here in the United States,
absolutely,
but in different locations all over the world, prove the point that you just made, Tim, you know, to be an American. You know, a lot of people are making this quote. This is not my quote, but you know, it's obvious, and I agree with this quote. I mean, look, you don't have too many people trying to leave this country as much as you have individuals coming into this country. But at the same time, you know, we have to start and think about this as America. You know, so many resources exist within this country. We're going to have to start thinking, you know, a little bit of forward planning as far as, you know, how we're going to distribute those resources amongst individuals in this country. And I'm not talking about redistribution of wealth and money and funds. What I'm talking about, folks, is that, you know, we have jobs out here and we have education issues out here in California. We have money and taxes. You know, we're only, have so much that can go around. And so when we're approaching 300 million people in this country, we're really going to have to start taking a look at the reality and setting up a true solid policy when it comes to how we are going to address the population growth in this nation with how the resources in this nation add up.
Man, it's when you put it like that and you say it like that and you explain it like that, Andrew, and I can hardly wait to hear what you have to say at the bottom half of the show. That is going to be terrific as well. And just to hear that, and folks, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to the 503 report and to what we have to say. You may not agree, but that's where we give you the avenue to call in and dispute what we have to say. Andrew, what do you got for us, my friend?
All right, folks. California, something you may or you may not know on this date. Year 1799, ready? Napoleon makes the first statement in support of reestablishing Jerusalem for the Jews. Wow, all the way back to 1799. 1803, the first public library in the United States is opened. Guess what state? Connecticut. 1843, a very, very famous event established a very, very famous trail with the first wagon train, 1,000 plus, depart Independence, Missouri for Oregon. And, of course, that was the Oregon Trail. And, then, of course, 1863, General Ulysses S. Grant begins the siege on Vicksburg, Mississippi.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. Heard every Friday right after the news at 12:15 on 1240 KSU. Live streaming on the World Wide Web at SierraDailyNews.com. And catch us at the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. It's Memorial Weekend. Celebrate those who've given us our freedom.
Live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains, it's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan, and Stan, thank you for your service to our country as well. Folks, coming up in the Northeastern California area this Memorial Weekend, tomorrow at Spalding Neighborhood Watch Craft Fair from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Spalding Community Center. For more information or for if you want to be a vendor, call 530-825-3112. And fun for the whole family, Diamond Mountain Speedway car races. Gates open at 6, 7 p.m. The races start at Lassen County Fairgrounds. Call 251-8900 or go to lassencountyfair.org/racing.asap. And from 10 to 2, the cars will be displayed at O'Reilly's. And coming up on Monday, an annual event the Spalding Volunteer Fire Department Pancake Breakfast from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Spalding Community Center. For more information, call 530-825-3258. Just some of the exciting things coming up in our beautiful northeastern California area. It is Friday, our favorite day of the week. It is Memorial Weekend Friday. And with me, as always, my good friend, Andrew Welborn. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I love it. I love putting the spotlight on some of our local issues up here in northeastern California, where we broadcast this show up out of for our statewide national listeners. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of activities up here. It's beautiful up here. Even though the rain is kind of threatening right now, it's normal for Memorial Day. But, you know, with the drought in California, I got to tell you, it's a welcome sight. It's just been a beautiful week, how the weather has balanced. Not too chilly, just a little bit of a coastal dampish feel up here. I have to tell you, it's just been a lot of fun. I've enjoyed this week, and I'm looking forward to this weekend like most people across this country. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. And, Tim, I'm getting ready to scrap everything.
You had a plan all laid out, and you were ready to go there. That's better. Man, you had a lot of stuff.
I'm scrapping this, man, because you made a point. And you made a comment on the first segment of this show that really, really got me as far as, you know, what the significance. Look, it is Memorial Day weekend, and we spent the entire first segment of this show talking about the significance and the importance of remembering what it means to be an American. And, you know, maybe it's time for us to, you know, there's a lot of conversations I'm having with a lot of my good libertarian buddies. And even though I banter my libertarians out there, I do hear what they are saying. And, you know, I just, this is a time maybe where we can begin to think, not necessarily angrily or radically, but maybe it's time for us to take some positions on certain things in this country and maybe in the state of California. A couple weeks back, I gave the quote, the Thomas Jefferson quote, about the importance of institutions changing as times change. Maybe it is time for us to start taking a look at trying to solve one of the big problems that we see and we hear all the time. That's the voter turnout, the lack of voter turnout.
Man.
And maybe today, this weekend, we could start talking about the Electoral College in the United States, how it works today, how it's supposed to work. And maybe if we were to take the Electoral College and actually apply it the way the Constitution and the forefathers set it up to work, then maybe we could get the enfranchisement back into the voters. The discontent and the apathy would go away. And maybe we would see the participation. And I've got a theory about that, Tim.
I am really excited to hear what you have to say about that, because a lot of folks don't know how it works or what it does. And we were talking to each other before we went on the air, like we always do. We knock around ideas that we're going to talk about on here. And, you know, there is no excitement about the California senatorial race coming up next year. Granted, it is next year. However, you got some major players involved in it right now, and they're saying maybe 15% of the people are liking Kamala Harris and Sanchez, maybe one out of 10 people, and they're just not saying that, well, we're probably not going to even go out and vote. We don't want to go out there, and we don't care. I just can't believe, after, you know, the opening that we said about what it means to be an American, folks, you need to go out and vote.
The voting disenfranchisement is self-induced. I'm going to put it right on you, listener.
Okay,
listen, you rationalize your most significant right away. You mentioned, Tim, in the first part of the show, we don't have a king.
No.
We don't have kings in this country, you know, thank God. And then, you know, we followed up with the fact that we've got cemeteries at the national level in this country and all over the world that prove that we don't have a king, because men and women have died to prevent a king. When the libertarians talk about tyrants and individuals from history, most Americans today don't see tyranny at the level that the libertarians like to try to quote it, and it creates the confusion. But when it comes down to this, let's take a look at this U.S. Senate race out here in California before I get into this this long dissertation I want to do here in a minute on the Electoral College. But this U.S. Senate race, when you talk about the media right now, I'm just surprised. I am surprised right now that this leftist media, the Democrat-controlled leftist media, are putting such an attack immediately on California United States Representative Loretta Sanchez, of all individuals, with some of the scrutiny that they're putting on her. They are not hitting California State Attorney General Kamala Harris on anything.
They are leaving her alone.
But I just cannot believe how blatant the media is being right now, showing how they are surrounding their darling candidate and are going against Southern California's Latino caucus. But it's just going to be interesting to watch. But it is Memorial Day weekend. We do have a caller on the line. Hello, welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind? Thank you for joining the conversation.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I just wanted to call and say, you know, I'm enjoying the program today, and my family has been in almost every war since the Revolutionary War up into including the Iraq War. And then I also wanted to say I've been missing that Know That segment that you have. There's some interesting things on that. Anyway, I'll hang up and get your comments off the air.
All right. Thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Unfortunately, Mr. Paul Stady has chosen not to be here with us today, and I had a perfect one for him that he really, really could have gotten really into and make it very interesting. But back to this U.S. race. Look, the leftist media right now is obviously going to begin to surround the Bay Area. So, you know, when you take a look at Northern California media right now, they are surrounding, you know, we said it last week, Womano versus Womano.
Yes, you did.
But boy, I tell you, the press is coming out strong, I think, in support of California State Attorney General Kamala Harris, obviously the first black woman to run for the U.S. Senate versus the first Latino woman to run for the U.S. Senate. Boy, I tell political correctness, I think, is going to be challenged out here in California as this race continues.
You never would have thought, Andrew, a generation ago that the media would be in the Northern California in San Francisco, because the media hub of the world seems to be either New York or Los Angeles, and the darling would have been played out down there, but she kind of had a little bit of a stumble. Did that have a little bit to do with it,
were they already
surrounding Kamala Harris a little bit? She is almost bulletproof.
Come on, man. War cry is freaking universal when it comes to actually getting out there and engaging in a battle. And
yes.
I have to tell you, yeah. You know, the political correctness is just ridiculous when it comes to, you know, look, I mean, some of the things that are being said out there are just typical language. And so when the press wants to come after a public official or a public representative because of common things, what's going on here? I mean, you can say it all day in the movies. You can say it all day in a song, but you can't say it as a candidate. When you're running for office, you can't utilize language out there that people understand without somebody coming out and saying, well, I'm offended by this. Well, goodness, I'm getting kind of offended, folks. I don't know about you on this Memorial Day weekend, of some of the political correctness restraint that they're trying to put on us as far as what we can and can't say in life.
Well, they're trying to get us to a person that they would like, they want us to be behind, and that's Kamala Harris, not Sanchez down in Southern California. You mentioned last week, 10 times she's been a U.S. representative, 20 years, and she took a Democratic seat to do it. So she has a stronghold down in Southern California.
Well, she took a Republican seat.
Republican seat, not Democratic seat.
Yeah, she's maintained it, you know, for 10 years. So, I mean, you know, look, I have no dog in this fight. My candidate is going to be the Republican fight. But I just find it ironic that all of a sudden, you know, we're seeing the scrutiny out here. More scrutiny on a U.S. congressional race, a congresswoman running for the United States Senate, than we're seeing with Hillary Clinton. I was talking to a good friend of mine who's listening to the show. Look, you're seeing more scrutiny on the NFL. You're seeing the NFL getting more scrutiny with Tom Brady than you're seeing with Hillary Clinton going up and down the state of Iowa. But however, I have to tell you, you know, I mean, it's I'm going to disagree with some of the commentary that we're hearing about how great the Republican candidates are. I don't know if we have great Republican candidates at this point running for the U.S. presidency. I see two libertarians battling out. I see two messages that I really, really like. I love the citizen government. I love Ben Carson, and I love Carly Fiorina's messaging. However, Dr. Carson is already beginning to stumble, making those rookie mistakes, which are going to be, you know, they're just going to add up on him, unfortunately. But the concept is what I really, really love, as I've said several times, especially coming into this Memorial Day weekend. But Republicans, I don't even think, you know, we're less than 8 months out now, 6 months out, and we really haven't even established anybody. But Jeb Bush right now. Jeb Bush obviously is going to be the front runner. I don't care what anybody says. If Jeb Bush decides to run, if he gets in the race, he's going to jump to the lead almost overnight, and it's going to be obvious. And the reason is because he's going to come in looking like the alternative to some of this libertarian battleships that are happening.
What do you think, Andrew? Do you think that there is a chance, maybe not this election cycle, but for somebody like the citizen of government you're talking about, Dr. Ben Carson, very popular in the media, very popular man, a doctor for 35 years, very popular, but doesn't seem to have really any experience. Is America ready to go to somebody like that, Andrew? I know we did that with a one-term state U.S. senator in Barack Obama and made him president. Are we ready to go to somebody with really no universal experience?
Let's talk about that word experience. You know, let's listen to this. Let's talk this. You know, look, this is, you know, the reason I'm kind of, you know, sounding the way I'm sounding right now, because you really, really hit something very dear to me.
Okay.
You know, when it comes to this. Look, legislative experience doesn't mean that you're experienced to be president of the United States. Being a corporate executive doesn't mean that you're experienced to be a legislator. You know, oftentimes, I've taken the position several times on the show, just because you're a successful CEO, I don't know if that translates over to be becoming a successful legislator, because CEOs are very successful because they get to dictate. They get to call the shots. Whereas when you are elected as a representative, you don't get to dictate. You don't get to call the shots. You must cooperate. You must negotiate. And heaven forbid, you must use that word that everybody despises. Ready? Compromise.
Compromise on the 503 Report, 257 Talk, and toll free 1-866-882-1277.
Missoula Men's Hardball League is looking for players and teams for the Men's League. They will be starting to play at the end of July, and Lassen and Plumas County players are most welcome. They will play at Memorial Park. This will be family fun. For more information, call Trey Allison, 619-838-6632. That's 619-838-6632. This message, a community service of your favorite radio station. The Bandwagon Festival is coming June 13th with a grand lineup of students and artists. Headlining this year, Country Artist of the Year, Nathan Osman of the Osman family. He'll be here to save the music. Also on board, Madison Cole, last year's Country Showdown winner, her group Sibling Rivalry, and the original Celtic Cowboys of the Old West, Dust in My Coffee, as seen at the Elko Cowboy Poetry Festival. Students from all area schools are encouraged to jump on board. Call 310-5875.
The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
Here's something you may not know. California, this Memorial Day weekend, it was 1939 when Adolf Hitler and Benito Mussolini, they signed that infamous Pact of Steel. 1973, President Nixon confesses his role in the Watergate cover-up. In 1998, a federal judge, Reddy, rules that the United States Secret Service agents can be compelled to testify before a grand jury concerning the scandal involving President Bill Clinton. And on a local level, 1915, you ready, guys? Lassen Peak erupts with a powerful force and is the only mountain other than Mount St. Helens to erupt in this continental U.S. during the 20th century. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And, of course, we are where America's voice is heard. And now it's your turn. Caller on the line. Hello, welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind?
Oh, well, thank you. I was enjoying what you were saying. When you were mentioned Ben Carson being a doctor, I didn't know if you knew that several of our founding fathers were doctors with no experience in politics, and they established the greatest country in the history of the world. And for decades, we've continually elected experienced politicians. Look what a mess we're in. I, for one, am ready to try something new with somebody that loves our country.
Oh, man, I couldn't have said it better. Great point. Thanks for that point. Thank you for calling in with that. And she's absolutely right. I mean, when you take a look at what we've done without experience, what we've done with experience, yes, that is going to be debatable. And I just don't like the idea of an individual claiming that they've got all this experience within bureaucracy or they've got all this experience in government. I like to see public servants. I mean, an individual coming up through public service, I think, has got a lot of experience. I'd like to see candidates coming out of maybe our government workforces, because let's face it, a lot of our government workforce individuals, we know where the problems are with agencies. We know where budgeting issues are. We know where some of the problems that Americans are complaining about, where they get log jammed and that experience. But sometimes, you know, you have to choose a career. And we know that as a public servant, as a public employee, over maybe stepping into a non-career. But, you know, the age-old fight in this country now is the career politician, the career bureaucrat versus who. You know, so like we were talking about with inexperience, or the bottom line is this. There's only one individual that has any type of experience running for the United States presidency, and that is the incumbent running for the second time. Then it's up to us as American voters to decide whether or not that experience is good enough to give that individual a second term. Yes, it is your turn again. We do have another call on the line. Welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind? Thanks for joining the conversation.
Thank you. If we're going to be hiring physicians, I have another doctor in mind. He's not a physician, but Neil deGrasse Tyson would be a good choice for president of the United States. Thank you.
Ah, you're very welcome. Yes, experience versus inexperience. I have to tell you, maybe we should further this conversation, but, you know, let's move on to something that I talked about in the bottom part of the show. Let's talk about that infamous Electoral College. Look, the Electoral College obviously is established in the Constitution of the United States. And I would venture to say maybe 90% of the American people, I don't think it's that high, but I'm willing to compromise and say, okay, a huge, vast majority of the American people want to see that evolved or repealed or changed, you know, to what we now know as the popular vote. But what I have to say to you, America, and I have to say to you, California, is that, look, even Madison in his Federalist Number 10 warned the people of the majority tyranny, okay, the tyranny of the majority. And it's not set up for California or the high populated East Coast to be able to dictate to the entire country. It is established that the states elect. However, I think that the problem we have is that the majority ruling, in other words, the winner take all process in each state, might need to be repealed. Maybe we need to change it to the way it is supposed to work, which is are the districts. The district representatives, the members of Congress, obviously go back and they vote for the president. So what that means, folks, look, in California, rather than a Democrat winning the entire state electoral number, obviously the majority of the state of California would go maybe perhaps to the Democrats, which means that the two U.S. senators would vote that way based on the majority. But our district up here, Congressman Doug LaMalfa and every other Republican would be able to cast a vote for the president. And if we got back to that process, then that means that your vote would matter. That means that when you voted in your district, at least, you know, the winner take all approach would be eliminated. And guess what? California would be in play, you know, because you'd have to come out here and campaign, because, you know, some of these districts right now are kind of
are waffling.
Yeah, they are. I mean, they could go either way, Democrat, or they could go Republican. And it really just depends on the establishment of power, because of the benefit of the individual with parties in power, that is going to determine what district. So if we were to just evolve it the way it's supposed to be, which is the Congress, the United States House of Representatives, they elect the president based on the electoral vote, based on the people, then maybe we could get the disenfranchised out of the discontent and apathy towards voting.
You know, that's great to hear you talk about that and break that down like that. So California, let's just say California has 50 electoral votes, and you hit it right on the head. They don't come out here and the Democrats, whoever that might be, they don't come out here and campaign as hard as they do in the Midwestern states, Iowa, Ohio, Illinois. They don't come out here. They've got it in the bag. But let's say they were to get 35, like you mentioned, and then the representatives in California put in play 15. Well, wait a minute. That is a huge number.
This would how can I put it? It would scare the bejeebus out of the Democrats.
Yes, it
because
would.
Because they would never ever win when it came to this. Because the majority of the districts within the United States are Republican, as indicated. Basically, your House majorities would indicate which way the White House
is leading.
Absolutely. So, you know, your vote would matter is the point if we actually ran it the way it was set up. I understand the historical significance, you know, the Adams versus the I get it. The Jefferson race, which changed it because, you know, I get it. Four times in our history, the majority did not line up with the electoral process, and that's fine. And it's set up that way. You know, 40 million people in California should not offset, you know, the entire election because Californians decided to show up to vote one way on a majority versus all. The Democrats are great right now in the presidential. You see that Hillary Clinton's out here in California. Well, I mean, they come out here, they fleece the money is all they do. They come out here, they fleece the money.
Make an appointment.
And then they leave. They come in, they leave. They go down to Southern California and they grab the Hollywood money. They come up to
San Francisco, Silicon Valley
money, and then they leave. That's about it. They show up once or twice, you know, throughout the year rather than come out here and campaign. And if we really wanted to be competitive in California on both parties, you know, I think maybe we should take a look at an initiative to do that. Two other states do it this way. Two other states, one of them is Maine, believe it or not.
Wow.
Okay. They do it this way. There's no reason why in California we can't not do this. Rather than try to split the state off into two different states, we can actually take control of the electoral process through the Electoral College and actually designate that our districts, you know, are going the way we vote when it comes to the U.S. presidency.
What would it take, Andrew, to put that into play? Would it take an amendment to the California Constitution, the United States Constitution, and how quickly could something like that be even brought up and get into play?
Well, you know, the proposition would be opposed completely by Southern California and the Bay Area. They'd see the writing on the wall.
But sure they would.
Really, it's about $2 to $3 million, you know, to get a good campaign going as far as a proposition, getting an initiative on the ballot. But rather than sit back and cry and complain, and I'm getting tired of listening to the crying and complaining these days, you know, let's try to maybe do something about it. And I'm just optimistic about it, and I'm trying to maintain my optimism and find a solution to some of the problems that we're crying about.
Do you think that we could get enough signatures to get that on the ballot? Do you think that has a possibility, Andrew? Or does it not here?
Look, we're just planting a seed now today.
Sure.
I mean, we're so far away from even thinking
Absolutely.
About filing an initiative and collecting signatures and raising money. I just want to talk to all the Jeffersonians up here for a minute. You know, this might be a viable
Absolutely.
Movement, you know, for libertarians and conservatives across the board to get on board with as far as, you know, rather than just try to split the state. Well, let's mandate that our federal voting goes the way the Constitution. We hear all you guys talk about the Constitution. Well, let's start making the Constitution, you know, operate the way it's supposed to operate with the Electoral College is all I'm suggesting as far as maybe getting, you know, disenfranchisement out of the voting.
Well, and that would bring the people back in. And we talked about earlier in the segment about in California, the 65-70% that really don't care about coming out to vote. They really don't. And if you had something like this, and like you said, that takes a lot of time. That is not going to come around tomorrow or the next election or after that. But if you had something like that to where the people would be, and they would not just say, my candidate is not there, I'm not going to go out and support the other candidate. It makes a huge difference if you go out there and do that, support them.
You know, messaging is another thing that we always talk about here on the 503 Report. And right now, you know, my libertarians, and I've been pounding them a little bit. They're talking about tyrants. They're talking about kings. They're talking about, you know, things that most Americans don't understand, don't appreciate. Let's face it, man. I even made this comment to my wife over the last weekend. I was like, man, we were getting lazy, you know. Even my wife and I were getting lazy, you know. We're becoming comfortable in certain things, and so our ambitions are a little bit different than they were, say, you know, over two decades ago when we got married and we were trying to go forward in life. But take a look at a kid today. A kid leaves his house or her house and they walk on a sidewalk. They don't understand that sidewalk. They're born into that sidewalk. They don't understand what it took to put that sidewalk. Maybe they get in a car and they drive on the road. Once again, they don't understand, you know, that those roads were designed based on education, civil engineers. When they look at a building, you know, they just see buildings around them. They don't understand that that was a dream of individuals. That was an engine of capitalism to go out there and build that business, build that building so that you can fill it with tenants because you wanted to become wealthy. You know, we don't understand a lot of the things that we just accept today. We move within, you know, great accomplishments of mankind, not understanding that the reason that we have got this accepted way of life out here is because of the accomplishments of mankind.
Has mankind gotten too far ahead? Is that what it is? Is it time to slow it down just a little bit? Have they gotten too far ahead? Because our attention span and everything else is not what it was. And to pay attention to things that are important to us is very difficult.
We're not suffering. And so, you know, we step out into everyday life. You know, we go to a store. We don't.
Everything we want is right there.
Everything we want. The water comes on when we turn on the faucet. The light comes on. We flip the switch. We're not suffering in this country. So, you know, the Oregon Trail was established. And, you know, we talked about with my point in history. I mean, those individuals struggled as they came across America to begin to build the cities. You know, mankind accomplishments are something that we need to appreciate and start to understand and maybe begin to teach within our schools and classrooms. But that's a whole different, that's a whole different subject alone. But, you know, eventually we have to get back to that. Communism and socialism are beginning to take root in this country today because I just don't think that most individuals believe that that ideology or they understand that ideology and the linkage to every dictator and all of the world atrocities that have occurred. We don't see that happen in America, and I don't think that most people believe that some of the historical stuff that we're talking about, some of the historical atrocities are going to happen in America. And so that, you know, that's going to be the number one issue and the problem. So as libertarians, I think that you're missing the point on this. You know, what you have to do is you got to stop using words that individuals are not understanding or relating to and maybe reach out to how Americans look at it and re-educate, re-establish a new thought to them so that they can appreciate the accomplishments of mankind in this country.
Folks, you need to pay attention to what we're saying here. You need to check out our rebroadcast on this show tomorrow as well here on the 503 Report.
All right, now from our favorite book, comes from 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be on your guard, stand firm in faith, be men of courage, and be strong. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, I want to mention and thank my late father for his service in the Korean War as we go into this Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work, working the toughest beat in the state, perform a duty so that you, our listener, up and down California and across this country can be safe.
Folks, take time this weekend. We're all going to be together, our families and our friends. We're going to be together as one, enjoying the spoils of this great land of ours. Take a moment and pause, like Andrew said, and give thanks to those men, those women, and those families of those people that are still serving our great country. Catch a rebroadcast of this show weekends at 7 o'clock on Saturday before the news and Sunday at 7:30 before pre-programmed material. And you can check us out about a half hour after the show at SierraDailyNews.com for a rebroadcast as well. And go to the 503 Report where America's voice is heard. And we've got our podcast for nearly 4 years on there as well. It's Memorial Weekend. Veterans out there, my family to you, my beautiful wife Joyce, my daughter who's up, and my other daughter who's coming up this weekend, and my son and my grandkids, maybe even a great-grandkid going to be here this weekend. We are going to have a great time. Thank you. God bless the United States of America.
Let me think.